Good morning. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. Choices. We all have them. We all make them every day. And the choices we make are what determine our success or our failure. Thank you for joining me today as we talk about establishing your look. Establishing your look and whether or not that really is a success tool. My mother used to tell me that image is that which you leave in the minds of others long after you are out of their life, their eyesight. Let's do that one again. Image is what you leave in the minds of others long after you are out of their eyesight. Isn't that cool? I always loved that because it meant, how did they remember you? How did you make them feel? The actress Raquel Welch once said, style is being yourself on purpose. On purpose. Is your style on purpose? Your purpose? Is the message your appearance gives the message you want people to receive? Do you project an attitude of success? Your physical presence is the foundation upon which you build your credibility. And so remember that without even saying a word, you are transmitting a message with your appearance. I recently attended a professional women's meeting with one of my friends, and we observed that there were two women running the meeting that their appearances in no way indicated that they were high-powered. They both had on pink jersey knit tops. Now, I don't know if that was by design or if it just happened that they both wore pink jersey knit tops that day. But neither of them wore a jacket. And the bras that they had were obviously not the correct undergarments to wear under real thin knit jersey tops because their breasts weren't properly supported. And when they walked, they jiggled. And their nipples were standing out like headlights. And one woman's nipples was even at a different level by a couple of inches. And these two women stood up there in front of this group, side by side, speaking with enthusiasm about their organization. And I'm sure no one heard a word they said. It was impossible to concentrate on what they were saying because their physical appearances were so distracting. In fact, there was one man in the group, and I was watching him. He seemed to be trying to figure out where to look or rather where not to look. He seemed very uncomfortable. So I want us to think about our clothing because people do make judgments about other people based on their appearance, and clothing is a big part of that. You know that in the first 7 seconds of meeting someone, we actually make judgments about so many things about them. We judge their economic level, their educational level, their trustworthiness, their social position, their level of sophistication, their level of success, their moral character, and even their social and educational heritages. Now, how many times have you heard people say, those people come from old money, or they're nuevo rich, in other words, new money. That's what I mean by judging educational heritages. I find it amazing that we do that, and we all do it. We all make judgments about other people. I doubt that many of us are even aware of how closely we scrutinize others. But there's probably not much that we miss. Well, I tell you, just the other day, I caught myself making a judgment about an escrow officer who was helping me when I was signing some legal documents. She had actually shaved off her eyebrows and drawn new ones from the bridge of her nose straight up to her hairline, giving her the appearance of a devil or a Klingon or, you know, someone from Star Trek sort of days. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, she couldn't be very, very, very smart if she'd do that to her own face. I wonder if she knows how that looks. And then I realized I wasn't even concentrating on the business that I was there to conduct. Do other people do this as well? You bet they do. That's why we don't want our appearances to detract from the situation or keep people from hearing what we have to say. It's so important that what people see about us is attractive and in balance. It's called visual poise. Visual means that which we see. The word poise means in balance. If we are going to make a powerful impression on others, we need everything they see about us to be in balance. And that pertains to our posture, too. Powerful people don't slump. They stand up straight. A good body posture makes you look confident, successful, and energetic. There are many benefits to good body posture, including increased energy, improved health, because it improves our health by aligning our internal organs, and it enhances our voice quality. If we sit up straight and everything in our body is positioned where it's supposed to be, we'll breathe better and we'll have more volume to our voice and we'll be able to have a better voice quality. In addition to that, you know, just look and feel more fit and more self-assured when you have good body posture. Here's a little homework assignment for you. Ask someone to look at your posture and see if you're standing correctly. A side view of your body should appear as though it has an invisible line starting at the crown of the head, flowing through the lobe of the ear, through the outermost top of the shoulder, down through your hip bone, the center of your knee, and ending at the arches of your feet. If you have good body posture, someone else will be able to see that invisible line. And good posture is a reflection of good health and of high self-esteem. If you take care of your body, you exercise, you stand and sit up straight, you'll feel better about yourself and demonstrate that feeling to others. This gives them more confidence in you. And, you know, no matter what profession you're in, people need to have confidence in you if they're going to do business with you. So walk as if you're going someplace important. Put some energy into your step and move purposefully. The length of your steps should be the same as the length of one of your feet. If you take longer steps, that will cause your hips to swing from side to side. And if your steps are too short, it will give you the appearance of being a wind-up doll. So slightly overlap one foot in front of the other as you walk, making the transference of weight from foot to foot even and soundless. You don't want to have a loud, distinguishable walk where people say, well, here comes so-and-so, long before they ever even see you. Keep your knees eased and relaxed when walking. Don't lock your knees. It will cause your body to have jerky motions. Allow your arms to swing naturally from the shoulders, keeping them close to the body with the palms of your hands turned inward. Don't bend them at the elbows when you walk, or you might be mistaken for a member of the local drill team. Keep your shoulders back and your head held high. Always be aware of your posture and of your outward appearance. Once you've made your initial appearance with your silhouette and your posture, don't forget, good posture should be carried through to many other things you do in life besides walking and standing. For example, sitting. How are you sitting right now? Other people observe the way we sit, especially in meetings. If you want to make a favorable impression, sit up in your chair and lean forward slightly, keeping your eyes focused on the person who is talking. This indicates you are interested in what he or she has to say. Now, crossing your legs when sitting makes the legs look longer, but it can also cut off the circulation in your top leg, and this can cause your leg to fall asleep. If the circulation is cut off often enough and long enough, it can even lead to or aggravate varicose veins. And when we are nervous, bored, or impatient and our legs are crossed, we will often swing the top leg back and forth. This calls attention to the leg and to your state of mind, rather than keeping others focused on what you have to say. If you absolutely must sit with one leg crossed over the other, be sure to turn your body so that the legs are parallel to each other and pointed in the same direction. That doesn't cut off the circulation, and it allows the blood to flow freely. and resist the urge to wrap your top foot around the bottom leg. It looks kind of juvenile when we do that. And all in all, it's better to keep your feet side by side and your knees together, especially when you're wearing a dress. You really want your knees together then. Now, how do we make an entrance? Whenever you enter a room, you want your entrance to be favorably noticed. If you are too tentative, you may lose your audience before you get to even open your mouth. If you run in looking harassed and frazzled and slide into the closest chair, you will also defeat yourself. Walk in confidently and with good posture. Project confidence. You have a reason to be there and something important to offer. So pause for a moment when you walk through the door. Look around the room and choose where you will sit. And then walk slowly to that place and sit down. If the situation allows, introduce yourself to those around you. If you already know them, acknowledge them. Even if you are late, enter purposefully and simply say, "I apologize for the interruption. I was unavoidably delayed." This is a powerful statement. I apologize for the interruption. I was unavoidably delayed. Over-explaining, giving reasons, or making excuses is not powerful. Don't run into the room and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm late, I was held up, so-and-so stopped me in the hallway, blah, blah, blah." That's not powerful. I apologize for the interruption. I was unavoidably delayed. And when you walk into a room where someone is working, pause until that person acknowledges your presence. If a meeting is held in a room with theater-style seating, making it necessary for you to enter and exit rows where people are seated, turn your body to face the people who are seated as you slide into the aisle, as you walk past them. If you have your back to them, you're sticking your backside right in their face, and you could be stepping on their feet. I mean, even in a movie theater, this is the correct way to get down an aisle. Turn toward the people who are seated and slide through. Do not stick your backside in their face or step on their feet because you can't see them. Say "excuse me" as you pass and let them know you are poised and confident. Or if they move their feet out of your way or they stand up to let you by, just say "thank you." Thank you. That's the appropriate statement. This is Judy Morio, and this is Choices. And today we're talking about establishing your look and our nonverbal communications. All of these things are discussed in my book, You Are More Than Enough, Every Woman's Guide to Purpose, Passion, and Power. But you don't have to be a woman to read the book. I've had a lot of men that have read the book too, and they've said, "Wow, Judy, if I'd have read this book 20 years ago, I'd have been more successful than I am today." My new book, which will be coming out very soon, is geared more for men and women both. But You Are More Than Enough, Every Woman's Guide to Purpose, Passion, and Power can also be very, very powerful for men in the business world and in getting along in relationships. It can be as powerful for men as it is for women. And you can get a copy of this book at JudyMorio.com. That's spelled JudyMorio.com. JudyMorio.com. Just go to JudyMorio.com/products and you'll be right there to the order page if you're looking for a book to help you be even more successful than you already are. This is Choices with Judy Morio, and today we're talking about establishing our look and our nonverbal communication. When we exit a room, such as when we're leaving a meeting with a room full of people, you want to be sure that you turn to face those who are in the room just before you step through the doorway. So just open the door, turn slightly, and smile at the people, and then step through at an angle so the last view anyone has of you is a profile rather than your backside. And then close the door quietly. Slamming doors, even when we're angry, is not effective and only serves to make you look childish. I just saw this happen the other day. I could not believe it. I took my car over to the mechanic because there was a problem with it, and the mechanic who was working on it out in the garage came in and made a comment to his boss, and the boss sort of corrected him, but in a very nice way because I was there, I was the customer, and the mechanic didn't like it, went out the door and slammed the door behind himself. Now, this had to be a man 45 or 50 years old. I was in shock. I could not believe that he slammed the door. How childish. It does not make you look like a professional. So, at meetings, don't slam doors. Well, or any time in life, don't slam doors. We're adults. We shouldn't be slamming doors. But let's talk also some other tips that we can use if we're in meetings. Stand up at the end of meetings. Stand up when anyone enters or leaves your office. Hold doors open for handicapped persons, senior citizens, or anyone who's carrying packages. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. If there's someone handicapped or a senior citizen or people carrying passage, it doesn't matter if they're a man or a woman. Hold the door. Hold the door open for them. And always say thank you to anyone who holds the door open for you. Also, whenever someone who's frail or older than you or pregnant comes into the room and there doesn't appear to be a seat for them, give up your seat. On a bus, do the same thing. These are tips that make you look powerful. They make you look kind. They make you look considerate. So be aware that we need to do these things. Also today, we're talking about your facial expression. Wow, your facial expression lets other people know how you feel, doesn't it? A smile is the best way to demonstrate a cheerful attitude. In business, this is a great asset. A warm smile when you greet people, acknowledge people, or do business with people is always appropriate and usually welcomed. Granted, if you have problems or the situation is serious, your facial expression doesn't need to be a silly grin. It needs to be much more appropriate. It is possible, however, to have a serious expression and still look pleasant. Your eyebrows sometimes say more about your thoughts than you mean to reveal. Raised eyebrows can indicate questioning, surprise, or even nervousness. Crinkled foreheads and knitted brows often indicate confusion, indecision, perplexity, or consternation. Scorn and ridicule, what's wrong with my mouth today? Scorn and ridicule usually come across when we arch our brows. I have this one friend who's had so many injections of Botox cosmetic, which temporarily paralyzes the facial muscles, that she can't even move her eyebrows, or most of the rest of her face for that matter. And we don't want that. We want to have facial expressions because our facial expressions give meaning to our words. So don't get so many shots that you can't make an expression. There are directors in Hollywood who won't even hire actors or actresses who have had Botox injection because they feel it limits this actor's ability to show emotions. Also, never cover your face with your hair so people can't see or read your expressions. Keep your hair back out of your face, male or female, teenager or adult. Your eyes are the focal point of your face. Use your eyes effectively to make your eye contact. And if you do that, others will believe you to be confident and direct. The way you look at a person can make that person either comfortable or uncomfortable. So it is important to control where you look and how long you maintain your eye contact. When you're trying to make an important point, it is imperative to look at the listener. Look at the person's entire face. This will give you a good indication of whether or not the person is interested in what you have to say. In the American business culture, we have a tendency to look others in the eye when we are comfortable or when we want to ensure trust. If you avoid eye contact, it may be interpreted as a sign of weakness, guilt, or low self-esteem. If you stare at the other person, it can be interpreted as a challenge. In order to avoid this, break eye contact briefly by glancing over that person's shoulder from time to time. In many other cultures around the world, looking down is a means of showing respect, and looking directly at a person is considered very rude. So be sure that you are not misreading someone else's eye contact message because you are unfamiliar with his or her culture. We have so many differences in culture, and in America we have so many differences in the cultures of people that live here. We need to be aware that just because someone does not look us in the eye as we believe to be correct, it may not mean that they are untrustworthy. It may mean that they are showing you respect. And nodding. Let's talk about nodding for a minute. Nodding shows the other person you are listening and understanding what is being said. It lets the other person know you're agreeing with him or her without interrupting that person to verbally say you agree. If you are in a group and you want the speaker to notice you, nod. The speaker believes the person who is nodding is very smart to be in agreement and will speak straight to that person. Be careful not to overdo it to the point that you look like one of those bobble-headed statues in the back window of someone's car. We just want the nod in acknowledgement to let people know we are there and we are attentive. Be careful, too, about talking with your hands. Talking with your hands can get people to look at your hands rather than at your face and what you're talking about. Family members used to tease my sister about talking with her hands, and she became quite self-conscious about it. You do want to use your hands for gesturing. That's very, very important. But when you talk a lot, be careful that your gestures are motivated. And what I mean by that is that the gestures go with or match the words what you're talking about. Etiquette research has found that people who use their hands when they talk really are more engaging than people who keep their hands in their pockets or out of sight in some other way. And if you don't gesture with your hands freely, at least keep them where they can be seen. You want to put them up on the table rather than under the table when you're in a meeting, because when you put them under the table, it kind of causes your body to slump over, and it doesn't give you the same good body posture. Or, I mean, you can lean back in your chair and just put them in your lap. That's okay, as long as you keep your body posture. You're going to be considered to be more trustworthy by people if you have good body posture. Very, very important. Your image and the way you dress speak louder and more eloquently about you than anything you can actually say. Clothing plays a vital role in how others see you. How others see you plays a vital role in your career advancement or your lack of it. You will probably never get a career advancement because of your wardrobe, but your wardrobe choices may hold you back. It's harder to advance if your wardrobe is contributing to the projection of an incorrect image. Many women today are confused about what is proper business attire and which attire will take them to the top of the corporate ladder or get the account they've been chasing. It's no wonder they are confused. Well, very few companies have dress codes, so there really are no rules as to the ideal way to dress for business. And women have never had a traditional style of dressing compared to the man's business suit. Many companies have adopted casual days or casual dress codes, which have resulted in 55% of employees dressing down daily for work and 90% wearing casual clothing at least one day a week. It doesn't help that movies and television show business women wear skimpy tops and mini skirts or skin-tight dresses and pants. One of my girlfriend's children, her daughter, who is 19, came down for breakfast one morning in a little camisole top and hip-hugger skin-tight pants that showed her belly and her belly button and her belly button jewelry. And her mother says, "You're not planning to wear that to work, are you? It's not appropriate." And her daughter, Brooke, says, "Well, it was on display in the department store, and Britney Spears dresses this way." Well, Britney Spears doesn't work in a law office. And Brooke got very upset because her mother made her go upstairs and change. But the thing is, we need to dress appropriate to where it is that we're working and to where we want to go. What do we want our career to be and how high up? And people actually advance people who look the part even more than they do very often. Sometimes people who really do know what they're doing. You know, the department stores and the fashion industry don't care if you're successful or not. They just want you to buy clothes. Clothing that looks great on a 5'9" thick-thin model doesn't often look good on a shorter person with real curves to her body. Business attire should convey a look and a feeling of presence, authority, and trust. The younger you are, the more conservative the clothing needs to be in the business world to achieve this effect. Virtually every industry has its own unwritten clothing laws, and so it's important that we dress appropriate. Conservative fields such as law, banking, and insurance, they still demand a rather subdued dress style. Suits will dominate the wardrobes of professionals in these fields. You can, however, personalize your style with the cut, the fabric, the colors, and the accessories. Other types of businesses, such as advertising, cosmetics, retailing, film, or television, demand a more dramatic look. You'll want to convey more flair and show you are on the cutting edge of what's new while still managing to maintain a professional appearance. Many occupations demand that you have the ability to be like a chameleon, changing your look to fit the environment of the day. While I do prescribe that business women maintain a simple, tailored, conservative look, you don't have to look like a little gray mouse that blends in with the woodwork. Your look should convey confidence, originality, and professional success. And while many companies have instituted a casual dress day once a week, usually Friday, there are very few, if any, guidelines for what casual dressing means. On a recent Friday, I had appointments at 3 different companies, and at each appointment, the executive I met with apologized to me for her dress and then added that it was casual Friday. Why on earth would you wear something to work that you feel needs an explanation or an apology? Even if it is casual Friday, you can wear something tailored that looks just great, something that looks basic and classy and tailored, because this casual dress undoubtedly made these 3 women feel as though they weren't dressed appropriately for our meetings. And they evidently thought that I wouldn't perceive them as effective, competent, and professional. And guess what? They were right. I took the time and care to dress myself appropriately for a business meeting, and by doing so, placed myself in a power position above the person with whom I was meeting. Not because they were not capable, but simply because they were not dressed and presented properly. Business casual means a nice skirt of slacks and a jacket or blazer that can be slipped on over a casual tailored blouse for client meetings, jeans, jogging suits, sweatsuits, low rider and hip hugger slacks, and t-shirts are not appropriate for the office. They are not appropriate even on casual day. If you would wear it to the beach, to work in the garden, or on a date, or even out bumming around with friends, don't wear it to work. Put a little more thought and a bit more strategizing into your wardrobe and think about what you want to achieve by what you are wearing. Image is a tool, and it can be your biggest tool for success. This is Judy Mario, and listeners, thank you so much for being with me today. I always want to talk about what you want to hear about, so please send me a message at Judy, J-U-D-I, at Judy, J-U-D-I, M-O-R-E-O, judymario.com, and let me know what you want to hear about. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Choices. We all make choices every day. Make a choice to make your image work for you. Make a choice to make your image work for you And remember, you are more than enough.